Welcome to Torat Imecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Amy Horowitz, and this week we'll be learning Parshat Shlach. Parshat Shlach tells the story of the Meraglim, the spies who entered the land of Israel and reported back to the Jewish people about the realities of entering and conquering the land. The Parsha plays a pivotal role in the Chumash and continues the theme we spoke about last week, the idea that good and bad are simply a matter of perspective. If we remember back to the very first Rashi on the Torah, Rashi raises the question of the purpose of Sefer Bereishit. If the Torah is a book of laws, then why doesn't it start in Parshat Bo with the very first mitzvah, the law of Rosh Chodesh? Rashi there explains that the reason the Torah starts with the creation of the universe is to justify our entitlement to the land of Israel as our national homeland. Ramban agrees. He explains that the stories in Sefer Bereishit of our Avot and Imahot are there to explain why we, the Jewish people, are the legitimate heirs to the promise made to Abraham that Israel would be our home. So from the very beginning, the Torah is telling the story of the birth of a people who would inherit a land. Interestingly, the very last word in a printed Tanakh is the last word of Divrei Hayamim, Vaya'al, which recounts the story of the Jews returning to the land of Israel after Galut Bavel, Vaya'al, Aliyah. It's as if the whole Tanakh is telling the same story of the Jewish people journeying towards their homeland, not only after the exodus from Egypt, but once again after the period of exile in Bavel. And here we are in Parshat Shlach on the verge of making it all happen. We've become a nation, and we're on the precipice of entering, conquering, and settling the Promised Land, until everything goes wrong. The spies return from their reconnaissance mission with news. The land flows with milk and honey, and the fruit is amazing. The cities are fortified, and the people are huge. Our nemesis, Amalek, is there, and we're going to have to fight. And while this is scary, it's also something we probably knew and expected. Why else would we have prepared our army and our encampment for war just a few parshiot ago? Didn't we know we'd be fighting? The Meraglim will ultimately deliver their judgment. Lo nuchal la'alot al ha'am ki chazak hu mimenu. We cannot go up and fight against the nations of the land because they're too strong. But even before they do deliver their judgment, the people are panicking. This shows us that they've listened to the Meraglim's report with all its positives and negatives, and they've seemingly only heard the negatives. They expressed their dire concern to Moshe and Aaron. It would have been better to have died in Egypt. And the sentiment is crazy. They certainly at least have a chance of fighting and winning the battles to conquer Israel. In Egypt, they had no chance. They're wishing they had died as slaves rather than be given the opportunity to fight for their freedom and autonomy. This certainly exemplifies the idea we spoke about last week, that we have the power to choose whether to see the positives or negatives in what life sends our way. Bnei Yisrael could have focused on the milk and honey and the incredible fruit, the promise of the Promised Land. But instead, they saw only the challenges they would face, and they were demoralized. So much so that they failed to appreciate all the miracles God had done for them so far, and they wished for death as slaves in Egypt. This rejection of the land is pivotal because, as we mentioned, entering the land of Israel has been the singular purpose of the Torah since the very first Pasuk. So the Jewish people are essentially rejecting their entire national mission, which is bad enough to make God realize that Bnei Israel have completely gotten their priorities and perspective wrong, and they'll need time to straighten themselves out and undergo another perspective shift before they actually enter the land. Hence the punishment of 39 years of wandering. It's like a very long time out for them to think about how to change the way they look at things so they can see the good in the land of Israel and in everything else God has promised them. After receiving their punishment, the people are devastated. Vayitablu ha'am me'od. They cry, they mourn, and their morale is at a new low. And then an interesting thing happens. A group of people who will become known as the Ma'apilim decide that they made a mistake and they actually do want to go into the land of Israel. Moshe warns them against it. They won't be successful because Hashem is angry with them and won't be on their side. The nations of the land lie in wait and without Hashem's help can't be conquered. But the Ma'apilim won't be deterred and they set off for the land anyway. And the inevitable happens. They're met by the nations of Canaan and Amalek and they are killed. This episode always fascinated me. Doesn't it seem like the Ma'apilim learned their lesson and did teshuvah? They say ki chatanu, admitting that they sinned, and they want to rectify their mistake by showing Hashem that they're excited to enter Israel. What's so terrible about that? In order to answer that question, we have to focus carefully on the Torah's choice of words. The name ma'apilim comes from a verb used in the pasuk to describe their actions, vaya'apilu. This word doesn't exist anywhere else in the Torah, and so it's difficult to define without any other context to compare it to. The modern Hebrew dictionary gives the word a positive connotation, to be brave or to dare, and some of our mefarshim interpret the actions of the ma'apilim positively. The Netziv praises them for risking their lives for the sake of entering the land of Israel. The Ralbag explains that their actions show their deep regret for initially rejecting the land. According to these mefarshim, the ma'apilim truly believe that they are doing the right thing, and they're trying to turn back the clock and fulfill God's promise by entering the land. But other mefarshim define the word negatively, as meaning blind to the reality of the situation, or forceful, or even defiant. The Abarbanel suggests that the ma'apilim aren't acting repentant or remorseful at all. If they wanted to do teshuva, they would have approached Moshe as usual and asked him to intercede on their behalf. This isn't their way of atoning for a mistake, but instead it's a refusal to accept their given punishment. As part of the punishment, God instituted a policy change. Now we're going to make a sharp turn and steer away from the land to wander for 39 years instead. And the ma'apilim, according to the Abarbanel, are pretending that this policy change hadn't even happened. Rav Chaim Navon, a contemporary Israeli rav, teacher, and scholar, offers an interesting explanation of the sin of the ma'apilim. He suggests that Eretz Yisrael is not actually our natural homeland, but instead is the place God designated for us to live as a people. Therefore, he says, the value of the land of Israel is dependent on whether or not God wants us there at any given time. If God wants us there, then it's good and right for us to be there. But if God doesn't want us there, then the land is no longer good and being there is wrong. The Torah repeatedly warns us that after entering the land of Israel, if we don't keep the mitzvot, we'll be exiled from the land. Our relationship with Israel is not automatic, but has to be earned. This explains why the ma'apilim don't succeed in their mission. Once God decides that we have to endure 39 years of further traveling and wandering in the Midbar, then that becomes the right thing to do. Although previously it would have been good and right to enter the land, it has now become wrong, and so the ma'apilim fail. Their actions become just another example of the Jewish people disobeying God's will. This is a lesson that goes well beyond this one episode or parsha. We've established that good and bad are a matter of perspective, and we have the power to choose to view things in a positive or negative light. Now the parsha adds another dimension to this choice. We have to view good and bad through the prism of Ritzon Hashem. If Hashem commands it, then it's good. If Hashem forbids it, then it's bad. This has to be the basis of our judgment. Otherwise, we run the risk of actually defying God's will by doing what we think is right. This was the character trait that defined the kingship of Shaul. Both times that he was commanded by the Navi Shmuel to perform a certain action, he decided to do things his own way instead, following the logic of his own judgment over God's will. When Shmuel instructs Shaul to wait for him before taking any action, Shaul decides to take action against the Plishtim anyway. When Shmuel instructs him to wipe out the nation of Amalek, Shaul decides to spare the king's life along with some of his animals. Although Shaul genuinely felt he was doing the right thing, his decisions proved disastrous, not only for Shaul's malchut, but for the entire Jewish nation. It's interesting to note that the name Ma'apilim experienced a resurgence in the 20th century, this time with a positive connotation. The British restricted Aliyah to Israel during and after World War II, and there were many who attempted to enter Israel illegally. Those who did so were once again called Ma'apilim. These survivors demonstrated guts and grit, putting it all on the line to make it to the promised land. And of course, this time we're proud of their success. I remember years ago on my first trip to Israel as a teenager, we visited Atlit, the site of a British detention camp where thousands of ma'apilim were held for attempting to enter Israel illegally. I remember we simulated a midnight landing on Israeli shores and sneaking through the bushes to try to evade our pretend captors. For those of us who made it through the simulation, it felt pretty heroic, and in reality it was. The modern ma'apilim were defying the British, not God, and therefore it's appropriate to visit the museum and root for their success. But the lesson of the original ma'apilim remains. Determining what's good and bad is not just in the eyes of the beholder, but is defined by God's will. In Sefer Breishit, the Ramban comments, "Ki hagzeira emet v'hacharitzut sheker," Man's plans are false while God's decrees are true. Essentially, the Ramban is addressing the Ma'apilim and Sha'ul and us by telling us that human logic is intrinsically flawed by its transients, while God's logic is eternally true. Therefore, in order to keep our values eternal, we have to define them by Ritzon Hashem and not by what we think makes sense. We see only as far as tomorrow or the next day, but Hashem can see the whole picture, and we have to trust that His view is perfect. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for learning Parshat Shlach with the OU Women's Initiative.